Welcome back to the Physician Syndicate podcast. I am your host, Greg.
And I'm your other host, Ronak. And today we got a pretty cool update episode for you guys. We're talking about Hippocratic AI. We put an episode out about this maybe about a week or two ago. So if you need a little bit of a refresher, definitely check that out. But I think this is going to be a pretty cool story.
Greg, I think it was like 3 weeks ago. It's a little bit ago. So, okay. This came across either my Apple News or one of these things, and I saw a new article. So we actually, I think, put into the show notes a Forbes article on this announcement of this $50 million, basically first round. We don't want to call it a seed round because it's not a seed round, a traditional seed round. So, all right. So Hippocratic AI is a company that's basically, it sounds like they're going after chatbots for healthcare. Again, we talked about this already. $50 million led by General Catalyst, which we've talked a lot about in the show, and Andreessen Horowitz, which we also talked a lot about in the show. So why are we talking about them again? So after we put out that episode, I actually saw a tweet storm by, I can't remember the guy's name. He calls himself the healthcare curmudgeon. Let's see if we can find that and link his Twitter account in as well into the show notes. But basically, he brought up the fact that there's a lot of lawsuits going on at the CEO of Hippocratic AI's previous company, Health IQ, which he left in January of 2023 and then immediately basically thought of this idea and started raising capital for it. So the lawsuits, and again, we'll lay or list this into the show notes in terms of like this Forbes article, but what it alleges is that the CEO of Hippocratic AI, the previous CEO of Health IQ, had led Health IQ, and there are a lot of really upset vendors, let's just call them, that seems like they actually didn't get paid for a lot of the work that they were doing. So as a startup, you work with a lot of other startups. You work with SaaS companies that are helping you do things, and it sounds like they had some companies that were helping them find leads for, basically, it sounds like they were doing health insurance stuff with Health IQ. And yeah, it just sounds like they didn't pay their vendors, which then they accumulated a lot of lawsuits and the CEO decided to leave for whatever reason. They brought in a new CEO to hopefully, looks like, clean things up. And yeah, just a little bit of a black eye, is that okay to say, in terms of just like leaving a company with a little bit of a quite a big issue to kind of sort through? The company is still in existence, Health IQ, and they're really just trying to get, you know, around some of these lawsuits, it sounds like. And it sounds like there's multiple of them that will go to trial in 2024 from a lot of different companies that are claiming the exact same thing, that they just didn't pay their balances. What do you think about this, Ronak? I mean, to then raise that much money from some really well-known venture capital firms, the thing that it brings up to me is due diligence just gone again? Like, are we in the age of AI and we don't care about due diligence, similar to Web3?
Right. So kind of. I think there's a few things going on here, Greg. So one, I don't think we really know if this CEO voluntarily left or if he was kicked out of the company, right? Because he's racking up all these lawsuits, not paying his vendors. Were the investors or whoever else owns the company, did he basically get kicked out or did he voluntarily leave? I look at those two very separate things. I think it's very shady if somebody is going and like artificially creating a lot of accounting metrics, right? Trying to inflate the revenue numbers, not paying the debts that you owe, and really putting the company in a bad position and still selling investors on why they should invest and recruiting employees to give up their other jobs to come work with you when you're really building up a potential house of cards. That's a horrible situation to find yourself in. And if I found an entrepreneur that's done that in the past, there's no way I would feel comfortable partnering with them in any way, whether that's working for them, with them, investing in them, or anything like that. And I think Warren Buffett actually said this best. I'm going to butcher this quote quite a bit, but he basically said you can't make a good deal with a bad person, right? If you need a contract that's heavily negotiated with insane terms left and right, you clearly don't trust this person in front of you. At the end of the day, you can find a way to screw somebody else over with other terms that you did not think about when a contract is put together. So you want to work with good people. Going back to this situation more specifically, right? Not paying your vendor fees. That's, I understand that technique, right? That you basically go take a service from somebody and then tell them, hey, sue me if you want me to pay you, right? And maybe some people will sue you. Some people will just like not want to go through the hassle, and you just got that service for free, right? We're actually seeing something similar like this happen with Twitter right now, right? Where Elon Musk isn't paying his rent bill that's coming in every month for the Twitter headquarters. And what are the owners of that building going to do? Like, are they going to actually go through the process of like suing one of the wealthiest, most powerful people in the world? Maybe that's not going to be a fun process for them ever as well. So I think it's just a bad situation all the way around. I mean, I think there's a little bit, I think capitalism is good. I think it's nice to build a lot of wealth, put out a product and service that is bringing a lot of value to different people. But I think doing it in a little bit more ethical, happy of a way, I don't want to say karma is the law of the land here, but I mean, if you can work with good people, I would rather work with good people. Those are some of the initial thoughts that come to mind, Greg. How about yourself?
Yeah, so it sounds like, according to Forbes, so in total, Forbes identified 15 lawsuits filed by vendors, which also included companies that provided call center support services and contract workers. The alleged unpaid balances in the lawsuits range from $29,000 to nearly $7 million and combined total more than $17 million. And it looks like, again, they have a couple lawsuits that are going to be taking place in San Diego County and LA County, scheduled to go to trial in 2024. All right, so the other thing that I want to talk about with this, though, is Andreessen Horowitz was the Series C lead investor into Health IQ. So you could imagine that they took a board seat. You could imagine that they knew what was going on in this company. So my question then becomes, why would you invest in an entrepreneur that has this kind of past? Like, if you know what's going on in this Health IQ company, whether or not he was, you know, asked to leave or he stepped down, he's then basically, it sounds like he was in the office at Andreessen Horowitz when he was coming up with this idea. Like, he's clearly kind of incubating this idea with Andreessen Horowitz. Do they just not care? Like, do they not care about the history? Because they're like, hey, this guy has raised $140 million. He knows how to start a company. He knows how to grow that company. And questionable whether he knows how to exit that company and ultimately make it succeed. But he knows how to do the initial part of starting a company, building it, growing, you know, the capital coffers. But why would you invest if you know what's going on at this other company?
Yeah. So Greg, isn't Andreessen Horowitz also the same venture capital firm that reinvested in Adam Neumann? I mean, WeWork was this.
I don't know if they reinvested. Were they in WeWork? That's actually a good question.
That's great
to throw out there. Yes.
I mean, just to give our listeners a little bit of context here, right? WeWork was this real estate play, this new age real estate play. They had something like over a $40 billion valuation. They tried to go public. The public markets rejected them, and basically the company is almost going through bankruptcy right now. Adam Neumann was the CEO through all of its growth, very charismatic guy, raised a lot of money, but at the end of the day, I mean, it was kind of a scam in a lot of ways, and he ended up leaving WeWork, and then just a little bit later, he goes and apparently knocks on Andreessen Horowitz's door and raises money for a new startup with no product or service out in the market yet at something like a $2 billion valuation. So, Greg, to answer your question, if due diligence is out the door, my thinking is actually no, due diligence is not out the door. I think the due diligence is not so much, is this a trustworthy person or not? The due diligence is, can this person raise a bunch of money? Do they have the charisma? That's what they're doing due diligence on. And the second thing that I would say is that, you know, there's so many people coming on to CNBC and Bloomberg and all these different channels saying that, you know, a recession is coming up or we're already in a recession. I actually think that maybe there still is a little bit too much money sloshing around, because if Hippocratic AI can raise $50 million with all of this going on, at the very beginning, if Adam Neumann can still raise money at a $2 billion valuation, I don't think we're in a very equilibrium market. People are still over-indexing on folks that are just outstandingly charismatic. I think the due diligence has changed from like, is this an ethical, realistic company, to can they actually just get their next round of funding? And that's it.
Yeah, so to correct, I don't think Andreessen actually invested in WeWork from the sleuthing that I did, but it doesn't change anything, right? Like, everybody knows exactly what went on with WeWork, especially in venture capital in Silicon Valley. Like, you know the stories, you know, kind of, you know, the things that he was doing in terms of like misleading people and creating EBITDA measurements and calculations that would happen to make WeWork look like a really amazing company. But yeah, you're backing the founder that you know can go out and be super charismatic and raise capital. You're completely right. Like it's an interesting bet, right? So going back to the WeWork thing or to his new company Flow, they put $350 million in, I think at a $1 billion valuation, but they're betting on him figuring out how to make it work because they know that he built WeWork, even though it wasn't necessarily ethical or scrupulous. Like it's just an interesting model. You back people that kind of have a, I don't know, whatever kind of past you want to call it, but you know that they can do one thing and that's raise capital. And if you can raise capital, enough capital, maybe that becomes a moat for whatever the company is that's ultimately going to be built. It's kind of a sad reality, to be honest. Like there are a lot of really ethical founders out there that are doing really interesting things, but because they haven't raised $140 million from, if I go back to Health IQ, they've raised from a lot of great investors.
So just before going there, Greg, so one lesson that I think comes out of this for entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs is maybe to try to over-index on increasing your communication skills as much as possible. I don't know how many public speaking classes med school students go through, but if you are thinking about starting your own company, you might want to take a Dale Carnegie course or, you know, a speech giving course where you can hone your charisma skills, because clearly this is an important skill set. I would actually say being able to talk to investors in a reasonable fashion is probably even more important than for a CEO learning how to write code themselves.
Completely agree. Completely agree. All right. So Health IQ, let's just go quickly through their investors because it is a who's who list. So you have Menlo Ventures, you have CRV, Greylock, First Round Capital, Rock Health, Ribbit Capital, Felicis, Foundation Capital, Andreessen Horowitz, and then basically everybody else just re-upped in the Series D and beyond. And Greenspring Associates, which I think is like a kind of pre-IPO investment arm. So yeah, like really, really good venture capitalists. But you notice that they don't back Hippocratic AI. Like you have Andreessen still, but then you have a new venture capital arm, General Catalyst, that's coming in to back it. You don't see Greylock. You don't see Menlo. You don't see CRV, which is really interesting, or First Round. You see Andreessen. That's the only person that was on Health IQ's cap table that re-upped in his new company. It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, does Andreessen just have a different moral compass that other venture arms don't? Because you can imagine that they knew that he was building a new company. I mean, First Round is a fantastic and like venture arm that's actually based in Philadelphia, part of it.
And but they're called First Round Capital.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine that he went to them, and I would love to know why they didn't end up investing. All right. Well, that was a very quick episode. Ronak has to jump to a meeting quickly, but you know, we're going to follow this. This is an interesting story. We had no idea any of this was happening in the background when we put out the first episode. So we thought we might as well just put out a second episode to at least get the entire picture out to folks. So we'll link this Forbes article. Take a look at it. Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it in the future again. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on the Physician Syndicate Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. As always, we'd like to remind you that the information and opinions expressed on this podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only, and should not be construed as financial or investment advice. Before making any investment decisions, we strongly recommend that you consult with your lawyer, tax professional, and financial planner. Keep in mind that investing in startups can be extremely risky, and there's a potential for loss of your entire investment. Remember to always conduct thorough research and consider your risk tolerance before making any financial decisions. Stay informed, and we look forward to having you join us on our next episode of the Physician Syndicate Podcast.